from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tonight, Chicago White Sox in Chicago. Alec Marsha on the mound. Royals favorite to win that game. Over-under is 9.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of business, but Vernal joining at 6 for Vern's pregame show. I thought this was interesting because you texted myself and Mac, and I found it very interesting when you said this, because you were like, does the 14-15 team win or lose to the 2024 team?
Mm-hmm.
And your answer was?
I think the 2024 team, right, this year?
Yeah.
I think the 2024 team would go toe-to-toe with the 14-15 team, and there's one reason why I think the 2024 team would go toe-to-toe with the 14-15 team, and that's starting pitching, Dusty.
Yeah.
I think far and away this team has much better starting pitching than 14-15 could have ever imagined. Now, obviously 14-15 had the bullpen, mm-hmm. and you could say probably better bats, but I know by watching the postseason, like, nothing that happens in the regular season in baseball ever really happens in the postseason in baseball, right? Like I think the Yankees are the prime example. They get all these mashers in the lineup. They can't pitch. They're knocked out in the wild card round. When you can pitch and when you have good starting pitching, you're giving yourself an opportunity. That's why if and when the Royals get into the playoffs this year, I think it's going to be very scary for their competition, because they're going to roll Lugo. They're going to roll Reagans. They're going to roll Singer. And that's all you really need are your top three guys to be dominating during the postseason. And if you can do that and have your top three, you know, horses in your rotation dominate, you're going to put yourself in position to potentially win the World Series.
Yeah, the only issue I have is that, I mean, we can take the 15 teams. You'd Trot Cueto out there, you know, Volquez or whoever you want to put out there. And the thing that was great about why I think the 15 team was so dominant, damn near went wire to wire in the division, won 90 plus games that year, was because the team knew they didn't have to score more than 2 runs, and they knew that they had the lead going to the 6th inning, it was over.
Right.
And that to me is an unstoppable force. In fact, we haven't seen it since. Mm-hmm. Not even just the Royals. You really haven't seen like a bullpen. I know the Yankees had one a couple years ago, but it wasn't Davis, Holland, Herrera, or however you want to put the team together. But I mean, I liked the 15 team because they had, you know, obviously the same sort of similar lineup. I mean, Sal was in there. That's the only thing that's like at the same. But like they had a couple guys that could get on and get around. Like Kane was kind of like your Bobby Witt Jr. He could do it all, play defense, but also was like the straw that stirred the drink.
Is Isbell making you forget about Kane?
No.
Okay.
No.
I
would. We always do this.
No.
We always do this. We always ask ourselves, what guy from the Chiefs past would you like on the current team? If I could put one guy from the past winning Royals team, Lorenzo Cain would be on this team.
And you know,
leadoff hitter, center fielder.
You know what? I have to think if you're going to use him in the leadoff spot.
Oh yeah,
that
put
makes
him
it,
on put him on leadoff. Double okay. Bobby Witt Jr. base hit. Him and Bobby on the bases together, hitting 1-2.
Yeah, you take him over Wade Davis. If I could give you either Lorenzo Cain or Wade Davis on this team in their prime, right? Oh, like 15 tough. Cain and 15 Davis. Oh. Who would you rather have on this team? Because for me right now, I'm Cain. Looking at the biggest weakness that this team has, and that's finishing out games and closing out games, right? And once you get into the postseason, your starters, unless you're that idiot manager of Tampa who took Blake Snell out of the World Series, you push your starters as far as they can go because there is no tomorrow, right? And so I think if you could get 7 or 8 out of your starters in the postseason, well, you're only going to need Wade Davis for an inning or two potentially to close out the game. So I'm going to take Wade Davis. That's the guy that I would go with. But I'm not going to argue Cain because Cain in this lineup right now would be just like wildfire, man. It'd be awesome.
No, I mean, but I do think that the 14-15 team handles business pretty easily.
They knew how to win, right? Like, they knew how to win.
Because three innings didn't matter.
I know. Like exactly.
The game was over after 6.
Yeah, exactly. But what if you had 6 or 7 innings that didn't matter with your starting staff, right? Like, that's kind of where I'm banking. I think from as much baseball as I watched in my lifetime, I just know that when you get into the playoffs, if you don't have starting pitching and your starting pitching doesn't dominate, the chances of you winning are going to be very slim to none, unless you're like the Royals and just had a magical 7-8-9 and you eliminated the last 3 innings of a game.
Right. And you have to know that, you know, you can put somebody out there and be like, all you got to do is just don't give them more than 2. We'll get 3 or we'll get 4, but then you don't have to worry about anything. Plus, I feel like, you'd be kind of spoiled if you had that bullpen with this rotation, but that rotation knew they had that bullpen, so that was a little bit of a confidence boost, a little shot in the arm. And they knew it was like, okay, I can gear up a little bit more because I'm only going to go 6 or I'm only going to go 5 1/3. They're going to bring somebody in, then they're going to start the bullpen run. And I remember, I think Coach Q was talking about, like, they were talking about the reunion. I was at that weekend, and they were like, what was it like, you know, because he was with Cleveland at the time.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, it was ridiculous. Every guy that came in threw 100 miles an hour, and you just kind of knew that the game was like,
it was over.
It's basically over.
Yeah.
And it was like, it wasn't fun. You know, here comes Herrera. Who's that? I don't know, but he throws 100. Here comes Davis. Who's that? Oh, well, he throws 100. Well, like 97. And then here comes Holland, who can just picturesque everything and get everybody out in the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think that the 2015 team, 2014 team handles business pretty easily.
They handle business a lot. But, I mean, this starting staff right now is making you and making us feel like they have a shot at something. That's why right now somebody just texted in, if the Royals sweep the White Sox, will be 12-1 against them and 48-48 against everyone else. I'm not worried about what they've done against everyone else or what they've done against the White Sox. If they get into the playoffs, their starting pitching gives them a great opportunity to experience a lot of success this postseason.
I'm still like fickled over that question of Wade Davis or Lorenzo Cain.
Let's ask Vern. Vern, if you could add Wade Davis or Lorenzo Cain into this lineup, which one are you choosing?
Wade Davis.
Yeah.
Okay. Wade Davis, and it really, to me, isn't close. Again, if you look at what Wade Davis did in 2014-2015, you can make a case that's the greatest 2-year run that a reliever ever had. Yeah, you want to give me that for an inning plus in every single playoff game, to piggyback off your point, Bob? You know, once you get away from that wild card 3-game series, you're going to have off days as well. So, you know, Wade can pitch in every single game to go along with that great rotation that you're talking about. And to go along with that question that you guys are asking, I think this team certainly could beat 2014 in a 3-5-7 game series. 2015, I'll give them their flowers. I'll say that they would take care of this team just because, and you guys remember, they were killers.
Yeah, they were.
They showed up to spring training wanting blood. They just wanted to beat somebody to make somebody pay for that pain that they felt after Game 7, and they took it out on all of Major League Baseball for the next 6 months.
Yeah, they really did. Like, that 2015 team was something, you know, to be said. I mean, we've talked about them, obviously, for the better part of a decade now, because that's the last time we won anything. But this team right now with the starting staff, Fern, like, if they get into the playoffs, which I still think they're a playoff team, if they get into the playoffs, I think the starting rotation sets up nice to have success.
Well, you can make a case it's the best rotation in the American League. for as much as I want to say, and I probably would still lean towards Seattle, that offense is a mess right now with the Mariners. So, yeah, I think the Royals starters are not only as good, if not maybe slightly behind Seattle, but they take the hill with a little bit more confidence because of their defense and because of their offense. Yeah, I think the Royals rotation maybe takes a backseat to Seattle, Philadelphia, but nobody else in the sport. But to your point, if I'm a Twins fan, Bob, I'm saying the same thing. Get Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan to a three-game, a five-game series, and those two could carry us to an ALCS. Yeah. But to your point, yeah, Reagan's Lugo Singer with Marsh coming out of the bullpen. And again, if the Royals end up in that three-game wild card series, you're going to have Michael Wacha, former NLCS MVP, available out of the bullpen as well.
Right. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, so you like the rotation, and it's also eventually going to add a boost to the bullpen if you do hang on to what you have right now, which is a playoff spot.
Well, that's what I was going to say. As we get closer and closer to the playoffs, and obviously the trade deadline's coming up in 48 hours roughly. When you look at what's going on with the bullpen and the injuries that they had yesterday, MacArthur being not really good of late, do you think that this team has a sense of urgency to go out and get a bullpen arm, or are they looking at it kind of like where we are? If we make the playoffs, we've got Wacha and we got Marsh that can be added into the bullpen.
Well, I don't think the knee injury to Schreiber and the back spasm for Hunter Harvey. Listen, I don't know the severity just yet. They certainly do. I would assume if they're serious, if you lost those two right-handers, that the you're stepping on the gas pedal a little bit harder to bring in another reliever. You guys heard what JJ had to say. I know my opinion hasn't changed. I still don't see a need to get into a bidding war. I understand over the last 72 hours, the trade deadline has really started to pop off, but look at the teams that are making the moves. Phillies and Yankees are adding. That's no surprise. Those two teams are World Series or bust. I mentioned the Mariners bringing in Randy Arozarena. The Padres trade away one of their top pitching prospects for a reliever in Jason Adam. Padres and Mariners have never won a World Series. Padres haven't been to one since 1998. Mariners have never been to one. Those two organizations are desperate. And then the other team that's making additions are the Orioles. They made a trade with the Phillies. The Orioles are so very talent-rich. They're the equivalent of a Super Bowl team that has a quarterback on his rookie deal. So the Orioles are playing a different game than just about everybody else. But the Phillies, Yankees, Mariners, Padres are World Series or bust, or are desperate. And to me, the Royals are none of those three things. They're not World Series or bust. They're not desperate right now, and they're not the talent-rich Baltimore Orioles. So the way that I view the Royals is, and it's really a question that I think we could all answer, if you're unsure of how the Royals should handle these next 48 hours, just fill in the blank here. If the Royals don't blank, it's a disappointing season. Me, it's if the Royals don't stay in the race into September, it's a disappointing season. So that tells me all I need to know. If my goal as a Royals fan, as a Royals executive, as owner, my goal is to make sure my fans have something to entertain them at Kauffman Stadium into the final month of the season, they're there, right? I mean, they're currently in possession of a playoff spot. The rotation remains healthy. Again, if those two injuries to the bullpen are serious, yeah, you might need to go scour the waiver wire again. You might need to, find that unheralded piece in another organization. It's certainly not going to be the Tanner Scott. It's not going to be that lights-out closer that's available. But when you look at the position that this team is in, they don't need to bend over backwards to stay in this spot, and I don't see them able to bring in the type of arm or the type of bat that's going to allow them to make a jump to a next tier where they become all of a sudden the favorite in the American League Central. So you're kind of, for lack of a better term, stuck where you're at. And that is on that second tier, vying for a wild card spot, hurting yourself by losing this series to the Chicago Cubs, hurting yourself in the divisional race, is, you know, Cleveland was down 3-0 yesterday in Philly. They take 2 of 3 from the best team in baseball. Meanwhile, you're dropping 2 of 3 to a last place team. It was a tough weekend, and if I'm J.J. Piccolo, it further stamps my decision to just enjoy these final 2 months. No need to sacrifice anything as we're in year one of Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract.
Okay, so let's look at the big picture, though, Vern. Like, over the last 6 games, you only won 2 against the Diamondbacks and the Cubs, right? Like, that's not exactly great. You started off the homestand with 4 straight wins and then finished 5-4. To me, it ended up being a pretty disappointing homestand.
No question. You were favored in every single game.
Yeah.
I understand football's a different sport, but could you imagine the Chiefs going 5-4 at home in 9 games in which they're favored? That's, I don't want to say inexcusable, but it's certainly not cause for celebration. A 5-4 homestand when you're taking on six of those 9 games are against bad teams, but, you know, last place ball clubs. And you know what? Yesterday's loss really didn't bother me as much as Saturday's loss, where you have a defensive miscue, where you run into 2 outs on the base paths. You know, the loss to Arizona, where no one's able to pick up Michael Wacha. You know, the Royals lost 1 game to the Diamondbacks and 1 game to the Cubs, where you tip your cap and you say, hey, you're a professional as well, and you outplayed us. It's the other loss, right? It's the reason why that became a series loss, which sticks in your craw. No, I wanted 6 wins. I was hoping for 7. To come away with 5 while watching Cleveland do that in Philadelphia was certainly disheartening as someone that is still focused on the division. I'm not interested in the wild card with 2 months to go. You're now 6.5 back of Cleveland. You have 7 more meetings with them. I'm staying focused on the division, but man, this weekend was a big hit.
Vern, I have a concern that maybe you can cool me down with. Vinny's been hitting the ball quite well lately, but for singles. Is there any, like, should I be upset that he's not getting a lot of lift in the ball, being that fourth hitter and the third hitter in the lineup, being that sort of power guy, but we haven't really seen power numbers? Is that just me unnecessary complaining?
That's what sports are, and being a fan is, so there's nothing wrong with it. I would still say that since the beginning of May, his OPS is better than league average.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's not putting up all-star numbers, and I would not have been shocked if Vinny was putting up all-star numbers. I was hoping that he would put up all-star numbers, but again, better than league average. He's top 20 in baseball in RBIs. Like you mentioned, he's still hitting the ball hard. As long as those things continue, the power will be there. And again, to me, the offense is not an issue. It's not great, but it doesn't need to be great. The rotation's great. The defense is great. The base running is great. I just need that offense to be league average. I need the bullpen to pick it up and get to league average. But I'm not all that concerned about Vinny Pasquantino. I believe, you know, that batting average is about 270, 275 since the beginning of May. Again, an OPS north of league average. As long as Bobby and, you know, Renfro and Fermin and, you know, as long as you have 3 guys going well on any given night, that with this rotation, defense, and team speed should be enough. I'll put it this way. Vinny hasn't been a detriment, right?
Right.
He maybe hasn't been the star, but he certainly hasn't been hurting the team. And with this offense, if the expectation is just remain middle of the road, all I'm asking you to do is your job. Don't hurt the team. And Vinny's doing just that.
Vern, 4-3 lead. Going into the bottom of the 9th, who's on the mound for the Royals? I won't snort like Binkley.
Well, if it's the highest of leverage, the guy that I have the most faith in right now, man,
and
names
we're
like Zerpa, Zerpa, Bubich, or Harvey. Oh man, I kind of want to see Chris Bubich.
There we go.
I mean, Hunter Harvey needs to be the answer. He has the best swing and miss stuff and the most experience. Let's see what Chris Bubich can do. He's looked pretty good so far. Hunter Harvey right now, I would say, is my number one in that bullpen if he's healthy. I'll say Bubich 2, Zerpa 3, MacArthur 4.
Okay, so this offseason, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves right now, but that has to be the number one need to fill, right, as a closer this offseason?
Yeah, yeah, without question. Yeah.
More so than a bat in the outfield or, you know, one of those type of things.
Yes, I believe so. Just now, you never know, and you guys know this, that year to year, you know, bullpen arms are fickle. They're tough to predict, you know, which is why I was, you know, so interested in that Hunter Harvey deal and why Caden Wallace better not be a difference maker at the big league level. But yeah. But the thing is, Bob, is, you know, Tanner Scott's going to be a free agent. And the thing I worry about is, you know, that the fickle nature of a reliever. I don't know if I want the organization to go throw a bunch of money at a reliever this offseason and
sign that
Edward Diaz deal that the Mets did. That I just don't think that works out.
Right.
So
I think closer is one of those positions where, like, it's a hit it and quit it, man. You got 2 to 3 years max. Like, we look at Mariano Rivera and some of these other guys, but, I mean, the closer position in this day and age in baseball is if you can get 3 years out of a guy and maximize that, you win as an organization. I mean, look at Wade Davis. He essentially had 3 years here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and another reason why I found it so strange that the organization was so quick, or the maybe not the organization, but the promotions department at Kauffman Stadium was so quick to give James MacArthur that big elaborate intro where they close, you know, shut the lights off and play the music, even though this guy's been in the big leagues for, you know, 15 minutes. They spent the entire spring telling us that this was going to be a matchup bullpen, that they didn't have a closer. Shoot, they gave the closer's job to Will Smith. They were unsure about James MacArthur, and you know, we'll see what they do down the stretch. We'll see what they do in the off season, but you know what this is likely to be is what we've seen over the years from Tampa. It comes down to the coach picking the right matchups, going to the right guy, and having the proper feel. We'll see how Q does down the stretch.
All right, Massey goes to the leadoff spot. I don't know. It's because we talked about it on Wednesday and brought up the idea if that's why they decided to go with it. Is that what you're hearing?
That's what I would have guessed, right? It was before Q came on.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. He was listening. JJ's listening. They're always listening.
Well, I know. So I'm glad they're taking the ideas from us because it worked.
And of course, getting MJ Melendez back in the lineup allows you to shuffle some things around to balance the righty-lefty. Mikel went down to the 9 spot. Izzy's been hitting well. He goes up to 8. You know, Massey in that 5 spot for the past month has been key as protection for Salvador Perez. But you know, Freddie Fermin's hitting .313 since the beginning of May. Hunter Renfroe has an OPS of .823 since the beginning of May. So you can move Michael Massey. He doesn't need to be that protection. He can serve as a leadoff hitter. I don't think we're going to see it every single day. But yes, what we've seen from Fermin, Renfroe, and the return of MJ Melendez does allow some maneuvering for Q and the coaching staff.
Well, Vern, enjoy the 3 wins in a row that are coming here and then a 4-game series in Detroit. But they will get the White Sox. We'll hear you tonight at 6 o'clock on your On Deck show.
I mean, the White Sox have lost 14 straight, Vern. We've got to make it 17. If you don't take all 3 from the White Sox, man, that ain't a good look.
I saw a stat that the White Sox prior to this season had lost 13 games in a row only once since 1924. They've done it twice already this year.
Well, let's make it 17 by the middle of the week, Vern. So we'll hear.
Gotta get this one tonight. Marsh.
Can't win the first one.
That's exactly right. You stole it before I could say it. From your lips to God's ears, my
been
man.
Been here a week and it's already there.
There it is.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Quick. You bet, Vern. Thank you. That's Josh Verner, Royals Insider. Be sure to listen to his show tonight, even more so at 6:15, as you could have a chance for the pitch clock, which could get you tickets to a future home game to watch this team really battling it out for the playoffs. Yeah. And also Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology and his number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
Did you like that we had a Bartman moment too yesterday in that game on that Freddie Fermin home run? Like, I mean, that was going out of the ballpark, and I'm glad Chick-fil-A kind of responded and gave everybody free chicken sandwiches or whatever it was for hitting that foul pole yesterday.
Chick-fil-A working on a Sunday. What do you know?
Yeah.
Never saw that coming.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tonight, Chicago White Sox in Chicago. Alec Marsha on the mound. Royals favorite to win that game. Over-under is 9.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of business, but Vern will join you at 6 for Vern's pregame show. I thought this was interesting because you texted myself and Mac, and I found it very interesting when you said this, because you were like, does the 14-15 team win or lose to the 2024 team?
Mm-hmm.
And your answer was?
I think the 2024 team, right, this year?
Yeah.
I think the 2024 team would go toe-to-toe with the 14-15 team. And there's one reason why I think the 2024 team would go toe-to-toe with the 14-15 team, and that's starting pitching, Dusty.
Yeah.
I think far and away this team has much better starting pitching than 14-15 could have ever imagined. Now, obviously 14-15 had the bullpen, and you could say probably better bats, but I know by watching the postseason, like, nothing that happens in the regular season in baseball ever really happens in the postseason in baseball, right? Like I think the Yankees are the prime example. They get all these mashers in the lineup. They can't pitch. They're knocked out in the wild card round. When you can pitch and when you have good starting pitching, you're giving yourself an opportunity. That's why if and when the Royals get into the playoffs this year, I think it's going to be very scary for their competition, because they're going to roll Lugo. They're going to roll Reagans. They're going to roll Singer. And that's all you really need are your top three guys to be dominating during the postseason. And if you can do that and have your top three, you know, horses in your rotation dominate, you're going to put yourself in position to potentially win the World Series.
Yeah, the only issue I have is that, I mean, we can take the 15 teams. You'd Trot Cueto out there, you know, Volquez or whoever you want to put out there. And the thing that was great about why I think the 15 team was so dominant, damn near went wire to wire in the division, won 90 plus games that year, was because the team knew they didn't have to score more than 2 runs, and they knew that they had the lead going to the 6th inning, it was over.
Right.
And that to me is an unstoppable force. In fact, we haven't seen it since. Mm-hmm. Not even just the Royals. You really haven't seen like a bullpen. I know the Yankees had one a couple years ago, but it wasn't Davis, Holland, Herrera, or however you want to put the team together. But I liked the 15 team because they had, you know, obviously the same sort of similar lineup. I mean, Sal was in there. That's the only thing that's like at the same. But like they had a couple guys that could get on and get around. Like Kane was kind of like your Bobby Witt Jr. He could do it all, play defense, but also was like the straw that stirred the drink.
Is Isbell making you forget about Kane?
No.
Okay.
No. I would. We always do this.
No.
We always do this. We always ask ourselves, what guy from the Chiefs' past would you like on the current team? if I could put one guy from the past winning Royals team, Lorenzo Cain would be on this team.
And you know
leadoff
what?
Leadoff hitter, center fielder.
You know what? I have to think if you're going to use him in the leadoff spot.
Oh, yeah.
That
put
makes
him
it,
on put mm. him on leadoff, double okay. Bobby Witt Jr. base hit. Him and Bobby on the bases together hitting 1-2.
Yeah. You take him over Wade Davis. If I could give you either Lorenzo Cain or Wade Davis on this team in their prime, right? Like 15 Cain and 15 Davis. Who would you rather have on this team? Because for me right now, I'm looking at the biggest weakness that this team has, and that's finishing out games and closing out games, right? And once you get into the postseason, your starters, unless you're that idiot manager of Tampa who took Blake Snell out of the World Series, you push your starters as far as they can go because there is no tomorrow, right? And so I think if you could get 7 or 8 out of your starters in the postseason, well, you're only going to need Wade Davis for an inning or two potentially to close out the game. So I'm going to take Wade Davis. That's the guy that I would go with. But I'm not going to argue Cain because Cain in this lineup right now would be just like wildfire, man. It'd be awesome. Right.
No, I mean, but I do think that the 14-15 team handles business pretty easily.
They knew how to win, right? Like, they knew how to win.
Because three innings didn't matter.
Exactly.
The game was over after six.
Yeah, exactly. But what if you had 6 or 7 innings that didn't matter with your starting staff, right? Like, that's kind of where I'm banking. I think from as much baseball as I watched in my lifetime, I just know that when you get into the playoffs, if you don't have starting pitching and your starting pitching doesn't dominate, the chances of you winning are going to be very slim to none, unless you're like the Royals and just had a magical 7-8-9 and you eliminated the last three innings of a game.
Right. And you have to know that, you know, you can put somebody out there and be like, all you got to do is just don't give them more than 2. We'll get 3 or we'll get 4, but then you don't have to worry about anything. Plus, I feel like, you'd be kind of spoiled if you had that bullpen with this rotation, but that rotation knew they had that bullpen, so that was a little bit of a confidence boost, a little shot in the arm, and they knew it was like, okay, I can gear up a little bit more because I'm only going to go 6, or I'm only going to go 5 1/3. They're going to bring somebody in, then they're going to start the bullpen run, and I remember, I think Coach Q was talking about, like, they were talking about the reunion. I was at that weekend. And they were like, what was it like, you know, because he was with Cleveland at the time.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, it was ridiculous. Every guy that came in threw 100 miles an hour, and you just kind of knew that the game was like,
it was
basically over.
Yeah.
And it was like, it wasn't fun. You know, here comes Herrera. Who's that? I don't know, but he throws 100. Here comes Davis. Who's that? Well, he throws 100. Well, like 97. And then here comes Holland, who can just picturesque everything and get everybody out in the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think that the 2015 team, 2014 team handles business pretty easily.
They handle business a lot, but I mean, this starting staff right now is making you and making us feel like they have a shot at something. That's why right now somebody just texted in, if the Royals sweep the White Sox, will be 12-1 against them and 48-48 against everyone else. I'm not worried about what they've done against everyone else or what they've done against the White Sox. If they get into the playoffs, their starting pitching gives them a great opportunity to experience a lot of success this postseason.
I'm still like fickled over that question of Wade Davis or Lorenzo Cain.
Well, let's ask Vern. Vern, if you could add Wade Davis or Lorenzo Cain into this lineup, which one are you choosing?
Wade Davis.
Yeah.
Okay. Wade Davis, and it really, to me, isn't close. Again, if you look at what Wade Davis did in 2014-2015, you can make a case that's the greatest 2-year run that a reliever ever had. Yeah, you want to give me that for an inning plus in every single playoff game, to piggyback off your point, Bob? You know, once you get away from that wild card 3-game series, you're going to have off days as well. So, you know, Wade can pitch in every single game to go along with that great rotation that you're talking about. And to go along with that question that you guys are asking, I think this team certainly could beat 2014 in a 3-5-7 game series. 2015, I'll give them their flowers. I'll say that they would take care of this team just because, and you guys remember, they were killers.
Yeah, they were.
They showed up to spring training wanting blood. They just wanted to beat somebody to make somebody pay for that pain that they felt after Game 7, and they took it out on all of Major League Baseball for the next 6 months.
Yeah, they really did. Like, that 2015 team was something, you know, to be said. I mean, we've talked about them, obviously, for the better part of a decade now, because that's the last time we won anything. But this team right now with the starting staff, Fern, like, if they get into the playoffs, which I still think they're a playoff team, if they get into the playoffs, I think the starting rotation sets up nice to have success.
Well, you can make a case it's the best rotation in the American League. For as much as I want to say, and I probably would still lean towards Seattle, that offense is a mess right now with the Mariners. So, yeah, I think the Royals starters are not only as good, if not maybe slightly behind Seattle, but they take the hill with a little bit more confidence because of their defense and because of their offense. Yeah, I think the Royals rotation maybe takes a backseat to Seattle, Philadelphia, but nobody else in the sport. But to your point, if I'm a Twins fan, Bob, I'm saying the same thing. Get Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan to a three-game, a five-game series, and those two could carry us to an ALCS. Yeah. But to your point, yeah, Reagan's Lugo Singer with Marsh coming out of the bullpen. And again, if the Royals end up in that three-game wildcard series, you know, you're going to have Michael Wacha, a former NLCS MVP, available out of the bullpen as well.
Right. Yeah, so that's why... Go ahead.
Yeah, so you like the rotation, and it's also eventually going to add a boost to the bullpen if you do hang on to what you have right now, which is a playoff spot.
Well, that's what I was going to say. As we get closer and closer to the playoffs, and obviously the trade deadline's coming up in 48 hours roughly. When you look at what's going on with the bullpen and the injuries that they had yesterday, MacArthur being not really good of late, do you think that this team has a sense of urgency to go out and get a bullpen arm, or are they looking at it kind of like where we are? If we make the playoffs, we've got Wacha and we got Marsh that can be added into the bullpen.
Well, I don't think the knee injury to Schreiber and the back spasm for Hunter Harvey. Listen, I don't know the severity just yet. They certainly do. I would assume if they're serious, if you lost those two right-handers, that the you're stepping on the gas pedal a little bit harder to bring in another reliever. But you guys heard what JJ had to say. I know my opinion hasn't changed. I still don't see a need to get into a bidding war. I understand over the last 72 hours, the trade deadline has really started to pop off. But look at the teams that are making the moves. Phillies and Yankees are adding. That's no surprise. Those two teams are World Series or bust. I mentioned the Mariners bringing in Randy Arozarena. The Padres trade away one of their top pitching prospects for a reliever in Jason Adam. Padres and Mariners have never won a World Series. Padres haven't been to one since 1998. Mariners have never been to one. Those two organizations are desperate. And then the other team that's making additions are the Orioles. They made a trade with the Phillies. The Orioles are so very talent-rich. They're the equivalent of a Super Bowl team that has a quarterback on his rookie deal. So the Orioles are playing a different game than just about everybody else. But the Phillies, Yankees, Mariners, Padres are World Series or bust, or are desperate. And to me, the Royals are none of those three things. They're not World Series or bust. They're not desperate right now, and they're not the talent-rich Baltimore Orioles. So the way that I view the Royals is, and it's really a question that I think we could all answer, if you're unsure of how the Royals should handle these next 48 hours, just fill in the blank here. If the Royals don't blank, it's a disappointing season. Me, it's if the Royals don't stay in the race into September, it's a disappointing season. So that tells me all I need to know. If my goal as a Royals fan, as a Royals executive, as owner, my goal is to make sure my fans have something to entertain them at Kauffman Stadium into the final month of the season, they're there, right? I mean, they're currently in possession of a playoff spot. The rotation remains healthy. Again, if those two injuries to the bullpen are serious, yeah, you might need to go scour the waiver wire again. You might need to, find that unheralded piece in another organization. It's certainly not going to be the Tanner Scott. It's not going to be that lights-out closer that's available. But when you look at the position that this team is in, they don't need to bend over backwards to stay in this spot. And I don't see them able to bring in the type of arm or the type of bat that's going to allow them to make a jump to a next tier where they become all of a sudden the favorite in the American League Central. So you're kind of, for lack of a better term, stuck where you're at, and that is on that second tier, vying for a wild card spot, hurting yourself by losing this series to the Chicago Cubs, hurting yourself in the divisional race. As you know, Cleveland was down 3-0 yesterday in Philly. They take 2 of 3 from the best team in baseball. Meanwhile, you're dropping 2 of 3 to a last place team. It was a tough weekend, and if I'm JJ Piccolo, it further stamps my decision to just enjoy these final 2 months. No need to sacrifice anything as we're in year one of Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract.
Okay, so let's look at the big picture, though, Vern. Like, over the last 6 games, you only won 2 against the Diamondbacks and the Cubs, right? Like, that's not exactly great. You started off the homestand with 4 straight wins and then finished 5-4. To me, it ended up being a pretty disappointing homestand.
No question. You were favored in every single game.
Yeah.
I understand football's a different sport, but could you imagine the Chiefs going 5-4 at home in 9 games in which they're favored? That's, I don't want to say inexcusable, but it's certainly not cause for celebration. A 5-4 homestand when you're taking on six of those 9 games are against bad teams, but, you know, last place ball clubs. And you know what? Yesterday's loss really didn't bother me as much as Saturday's loss, where you have a defensive miscue, where you run into 2 outs on the base paths. You know, the loss to Arizona, where no one's able to pick up Michael Wacha. You know, the Royals lost 1 game to the Diamondbacks and 1 game to the Cubs, where you tip your cap and you say, hey, you're a professional as well, and you outplayed us. It's the other loss, right? It's the reason why that became a series loss, which sticks in your craw. No, I wanted 6 wins. I was hoping for 7. To come away with 5 while watching Cleveland do that in Philadelphia was certainly disheartening as someone that is still focused on the division. I'm not interested in the wild card with 2 months to go. You're now 6.5 back of Cleveland. You have 7 more meetings with them. I'm staying focused on the division, but man, this weekend was a big hit.
Vern, I have a concern that maybe you can cool me down with. Vinny's been hitting the ball quite well lately, but for singles. Is there any, like, should I be upset that he's not getting a lot of lift in the ball, being that fourth hitter and the third hitter in the lineup, being that sort of power guy, but we haven't really seen power numbers? Is that just me unnecessary complaining?
That's what sports are, and being a fan is, so there's nothing wrong with it. I would still say that since the beginning of May, his OPS is better than league average.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's not putting up all-star numbers, and I would not have been shocked if Vinny was putting up all-star numbers. I was hoping that he would put up all-star numbers, but again, better than league average. He's top 20 in baseball in RBIs. Like you mentioned, he's still hitting the ball hard. As long as those things continue, the power will be there. And again, to me, the offense is not an issue. It's not great, but it doesn't need to be great. The rotation's great. The defense is great. The base running is great. I just need that offense to be league average. I need the bullpen to pick it up and get to league average, but I'm not all that concerned about Vinny Pasquantino. I believe, you know, that batting average is about 270, 275 since the beginning of May. Again, an OPS north of league average. As long as Bobby and, you know, Renfro and Fermin and, you know, as long as you have 3 guys going well on any given night, that with this rotation, defense, and team speed should be enough. I'll put it this way. Vinny hasn't been a detriment, right?
Right.
He maybe hasn't been the star, but he certainly hasn't been hurting the team. And with this offense, if the expectation is just remain middle of the road, all I'm asking you to do is your job. Don't hurt the team, and Vinny's doing just that.
Vern, 4-3 lead. Going into the bottom of the ninth, who's on the mound for the Royals? I won't snort like Binkley.
Well, if it's the highest of leverage, the guy that I have the most faith in right now, man,
and
names like
Stalling,
Zerpa, Zerpa, Bubich, or Harvey. Oh, man, I kind of want to see Chris Bubich.
There we go.
There we go, Bert. I mean, Hunter Harvey needs to be the answer. He has the best swing and miss stuff and the most experience. Let's see what Chris Bubich can do. He's looked pretty good so far. Hunter Harvey right now, I would say, is my number one in that bullpen if he's healthy. I'll say Bubich 2, Zerpa 3, MacArthur 4.
Okay, so this offseason, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves right now, but that has to be the number one need to fill, right, as a closer this offseason?
Yeah, yeah, without question. Yeah.
More so than a bat in the outfield or, you know, one of those type of things.
Yes, I believe so. Just now, you never know, and you guys know this, that mm-hmm. year to year, you know, bullpen arms are fickle. They're tough to predict, you know, which is why I was, you know, so interested in that Hunter Harvey deal and why Caden Wallace better not be a difference maker at the big league level. But yeah. But the thing is, Bob, is, you know, Tanner Scott's going to be a free agent. And the thing I worry about is, you know, that the fickle nature of a reliever. I don't know if I want the organization to go throw a bunch of money at a reliever this offseason and sign that Edward Diaz deal that the Mets did. That I just don't think that works out. Right. So
I think closer is one of those positions where, like, it's a hit it and quit it, man. You got 2 to 3 years max. Like, we look at Mariano Rivera and some of these other guys, but, I mean, the closer position in this day and age in baseball is if you can get 3 years out of a guy and maximize that, you win as an organization. I mean, look at Wade Davis. He essentially had 3 years here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and another reason why I found it so strange that the organization was so quick, or the maybe not the organization, but the promotions department at Kauffman Stadium was so quick to give James MacArthur that big elaborate intro where they close, you know, shut the lights off and play the music, even though this guy's been in the big leagues for, you know, 15 minutes. They spent the entire spring telling us that this was going to be a matchup bullpen, that they didn't have a closer. Shoot, they gave the closer's job to Will Smith. They were unsure about James MacArthur, and you know, we'll see what they do down the stretch. We'll see what they do in the offseason, but you know what this is likely to be is what we've seen over the years from Tampa. It comes down to the coach picking the right matchups, going to the right guy, and having the proper feel. We'll see how Q does down the stretch.
All right, Massey goes to the leadoff spot. I don't know. It's because we talked about it on Wednesday and brought up the idea if that's why they decided to go with it. Is that what you're hearing?
That's what I would have guessed, right? It was before Q came on.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. He was listening. JJ's listening. They're always listening.
Well, I know. So I'm glad they're taking the ideas from us because it worked.
And of course, getting MJ Melendez back in the lineup allows you to shuffle some things around to balance the righty-lefty. Mikel went down to the 9 spot. Izzy's been hitting well. He goes up to 8. You know, Massey in that 5 spot for the past month has been key as protection for Salvador Perez. But you know, Freddie Fermin's hitting .313 since the beginning of May. Hunter Renfroe has an OPS of .823 since the beginning of May. So you can move Michael Massey. He doesn't need to be that protection. He can serve as a leadoff hitter. I don't think we're going to see it every single day. But yes, what we've seen from Fermin, Renfroe, and the return of MJ Melendez does allow some maneuvering for Q and the coaching staff.
Well, Vern, enjoy the 3 wins in a row that are coming here and then a 4-game series in Detroit. But they will get the White Sox. We'll hear you tonight at 6 o'clock on your own show.
I mean, the White Sox have lost 14 straight, Vern. We've got to make it 17. If you don't take all 3 from the White Sox, man, that ain't a good look.
I saw a stat that the White Sox prior to this season had lost 13 games in a row only once since 1924. They've done it twice already this year.
Well, let's make it 17 by the middle of the week, Vern. So we'll hear.
Got to get this one tonight. Come on, Marsh.
Can't win three without winning the first one.
Exactly right. You stole it before I could say it. From your lips to God's ears, my man.
Been here a week and it's already there.
There it is.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Quick. You bet, Vern. Thank you. That's Josh Vern, your Royals insider. Be sure to listen to his show tonight, even more so at 6:15, as you could have a chance for the pitch clock, which could get you tickets to a future home game to watch this team really battling it out for the playoffs. Yeah. And also, Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology and is number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
Did you like that we had a Bartman moment, too, yesterday in that game on that Freddie Fermin home run? Like, I mean, that was going out of the ballpark, and I'm glad Chick-fil-A kind of responded and gave everybody free chicken sandwiches or whatever it was for hitting that foul pole yesterday.
Chick-fil-A working on a Sunday. What do you know? Yeah. Never saw that coming. Tonight, Chicago White Sox in Chicago. Alec Marsh on the mound. Royals favorite to win that game. Over-under is 9.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of business, but Vern will join you at 6 for Vern's pregame show. I thought this was interesting because you texted myself and Mac, and I found it very interesting when you said this because you were like, does the 14-15 team win or lose to the 2024 team?
Mm-hmm.
And your answer was?
I think the 2024 team, right, this year?
Yeah.
I think the 2024 team would go toe-to-toe with the 14-15 team. And there's one reason why I think the 2024 team would go toe-to-toe with the 14-15 team, and that's starting pitching, Dusty.
Yeah.
I think far and away this team has much better starting pitching than 14 and 15 could have ever imagined. Now, obviously 14 and 15 had the bullpen, mm-hmm. and you could say probably better bats, but I know by watching the postseason, like nothing that happens in the regular season in baseball ever really happens in the postseason in baseball, right? Like I think the Yankees are the prime example. They get all these mashers in the lineup. They can't pitch. They're knocked out in the wild card round. When you can pitch and when you have good starting pitching, you're giving yourself an opportunity. That's why if and when the Royals get into the playoffs this year, I think it's going to be very scary for their competition because they're going to roll Lugo. They're going to roll Reagans. They're going to roll Singer. And that's all you really need are your top three guys to be dominating during the postseason. And if you can do that and have your top three, you know, horses in your rotation dominate, you're going to put yourself in position to potentially win the World Series.
Yeah, the only issue I have is that we can take the 15 teams. You'd Trot Cueto out there, you know, Volquez or whoever you want to put out there. And the thing that was great about why I think the 15 team was so dominant, damn near went wire to wire in the division, won 90 plus games that year, was because the team knew they didn't have to score more than two runs and they knew that they had the lead going to the sixth inning, it was over.
Right.
And that to me is an unstoppable force. In fact, we haven't seen it since. Mm-hmm. Not even just the Royals. You really haven't seen like a bullpen. I know the Yankees had one a couple years ago, but it wasn't Davis, Holland, Herrera, or however you want to put the team together. But I mean, I liked the 15 team because they had, you know, obviously the same sort of similar lineup. I mean, Sal was in there. That's the only thing that's like at the same. But like they had a couple guys that could get on and get around. Like Kane was kind of like your Bobby Witt Jr. He could do it all, play defense, but also was like the straw that stirred the drink. Is
Isbell making you forget about Kane?
No.
Okay.
No.
I
would. We always do this.
No.
We always do this. We always ask ourselves, what guy from the Chiefs past would you like on the current team? If I could put one guy from the past winning Royals team, Lorenzo Cain would be on this team.
And you know
leadoff
what?
Hitter, center fielder.
You know what? I have to think if you're going to use him in the leadoff spot.
Oh yeah,
that
put
makes
him
it,
on. Put him on leadoff. Double okay. Bobby Witt Jr. base hit. Him and Bobby on the bases together, hitting 1-2.
Yeah, you take him over Wade Davis. If I could give you either Lorenzo Cain or Wade Davis on this team in their prime, right? Like 15 Cain and 15 Davis. Who would you rather have on this team? Because for me right now, I'm looking at the biggest weakness that this team has, and that's finishing out games and closing out games, right? And once you get into the postseason, your starters, unless you're that idiot manager of Tampa who took Blake Snell out of the World Series, you push your starters as far as they can go because there is no tomorrow, right? And so I think if you could get 7 or 8 out of your starters in the postseason, well, you're only going to need Wade Davis for an inning or two potentially to close out the game. So I'm going to take Wade Davis. That's the guy that I would go with. But I'm not going to argue Kane because Kane in this lineup right now would be just like wildfire, man. It'd be awesome. Right.
No, I mean, but I do think that the 14-15 team handles business pretty easily.
They knew how to win, right? Like, they knew how to win.
Because three innings didn't matter.
I know. Like exactly.
The game was over after six.
Yeah, exactly. But what if you had 6 or 7 innings that didn't matter with your starting staff, right? Like, that's kind of where I'm banking. I think from as much baseball as I watched in my lifetime, I just know that when you get into the playoffs, if you don't have starting pitching and your starting pitching doesn't dominate, the chances of you winning are going to be very slim to none unless you're like the Royals and just had a magical 7-8-9 and you eliminated the last three innings of a game.
Right. And you have to know that, you know, you can put somebody out there and be like, all you got to do is just don't give them more than two. We'll get 3 or we'll get 4, but then you don't have to worry about anything. Plus, I feel like, you'd be kind of spoiled if you had that bullpen with this rotation, but that rotation knew they had that bullpen, so that was a little bit of a confidence boost, a little shot in the arm. And they knew it was like, okay, I can gear up a little bit more because I'm only going to go 6 or I'm only going to go 5 1/3. They're going to bring somebody in, then they're going to start the bullpen run. And I remember, I think Coach Q was talking about, like, they were talking about the reunion. I was at that weekend, and they were like, what was it like, you know, because he was with Cleveland at the time.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, it was ridiculous. Every guy that came in threw 100 miles an hour, and you just kind of knew that the game was like,
it was
basically over.
Yeah.
And it was like, it wasn't fun. You know, here comes Herrera. Who's that? I don't know, but he throws 100. Here comes Davis. Who's that? Oh, well, he throws 100. not like 97. And then here comes Holland, who can just picturesque everything and get everybody out in the ninth inning. Mm-hmm. But again, I think that the 2015 team, 2014 team handles business pretty easily.
They handle business a lot, but I mean, this starting staff right now is making you and making us feel like they have a shot at something. That's why right now somebody just texted in, if the Royals sweep the White Sox, will be 12-1 against them and 48-48 against everyone else. I'm not worried about what they've done against everyone else or what they've done against the White Sox. If they get into the playoffs, their starting pitching gives them a great opportunity to experience a lot of success this postseason.
I'm still like fickled over that question of Wade Davis or Lorenzo Cain.
Let's ask Vern. Vern, if you could add Wade Davis or Lorenzo Cain into this lineup, which one are you choosing?
Wade Davis.
Yeah.
Okay. Wade Davis, and it really, to me, isn't close. Again, if you look at what Wade Davis did in 2014-2015, you can make a case that's the greatest two-year run that a reliever ever had. Yeah, mm-hmm. You want to give me that for an inning plus in every single playoff game, to piggyback off your point, Bob? You know, once you get away from that wild card three-game series, you're going to have off days as well. So, you know, Wade can pitch in every single game to go along with that great rotation that you're talking about. And to go along with that question that you guys are asking, I think this team certainly could beat 2014 in a 3-5-7 game series. 2015, I'll give them their flowers. I'll say that they would take care of this team just because, and you guys remember, they were killers.
Yeah, they were.
They showed up to spring training wanting blood. They just wanted to beat somebody to make somebody pay for that pain that they felt after Game 7, and they took it out on all of Major League Baseball for the next 6 months.
Yeah, they really did. Like, that 2015 team was something, you know, to be said. I mean, we've talked about them, obviously, for the better part of a decade now, because that's the last time we won anything. But this team right now with the starting staff, Fern, like, if they get into the playoffs, which I still think they're a playoff team, if they get into the playoffs, I think the starting rotation sets up nice to have success.
Well, you can make a case it's the best rotation in the American League. For as much as I want to say, and I probably would still lean towards Seattle, that offense is a mess right now with the Mariners. So, I think the Royals starters are not only as good, if not maybe slightly behind Seattle, but they take the hill with a little bit more confidence because of their defense and because of their offense. Yeah, I think the Royals rotation maybe takes a backseat to Seattle, Philadelphia, but nobody else in the sport. But to your point, if I'm a Twins fan, Bob, I'm saying the same thing. Get Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan to a three-game, a five-game series, and those two could carry us to an ALCS. Yeah. But to your point, Reagans, Lugo, Singer, with Marsh coming out of the bullpen. And again, if the Royals end up in that three-game wild card series, you're going to have Michael Wacha, former NLCS MVP, available out of the bullpen as well.
Go ahead.
So you like the rotation, and it's also eventually going to add a boost to the bullpen if you do hang on to what you have right now, which is a playoff spot.
Well, that's what I was going to say. As we get closer and closer to the playoffs, and obviously the trade deadline's coming up in 48 hours roughly. When you look at what's going on with the bullpen and the injuries that they had yesterday, MacArthur being not really good of late, do you think that this team has a sense of urgency to go out and get a bullpen arm, or are they looking at it kind of like where we are? If we make the playoffs, we've got Wacha and we got Marsh that can be added into the bullpen.
Well, I don't think the knee injury to Schreiber and the back spasm for Hunter Harvey, I don't know the severity just yet. They certainly do. I would assume if they're serious, if you lost those two right-handers, that the you're stepping on the gas pedal a little bit harder to bring in another reliever. You guys heard what JJ had to say. I know my opinion hasn't changed. I still don't see a need to get into a bidding war. I understand over the last 72 hours, the trade deadline has really started to pop off, but look at the teams that are making the moves. Phillies and Yankees are adding. That's no surprise. Those two teams are World Series or bust. I mentioned the Mariners bringing in Randy Arozarena. The Padres trade away one of their top pitching prospects for a reliever in Jason Adam. Padres and Mariners have never won a World Series. Padres haven't been to one since 1998. Mariners have never been to one. Those two organizations are desperate. And then The other team that's making additions are the Orioles. They made a trade with the Phillies. The Orioles are so very talent-rich. They're the equivalent of a Super Bowl team that has a quarterback on his rookie deal. So the Orioles are playing a different game than just about everybody else. But the Phillies, Yankees, Mariners, Padres are World Series or bust, or are desperate. And to me, the Royals are none of those three things. They're not World Series or bust. They're not desperate right now, and they're not the talent-rich Baltimore Orioles. So the way that I view the Royals is, and it's really a question that I think we could all answer, if you're unsure of how the Royals should handle these next 48 hours, just fill in the blank here. If the Royals don't blank, it's a disappointing season. Me, it's if the Royals don't stay in the race into September, it's a disappointing season. So that tells me all I need to know. If my goal as a Royals fan, as a Royals executive, as owner, my goal is to make sure my fans have something to entertain them at Kauffman Stadium into the final month of the season, they're there, right? I mean, they're currently in possession of a playoff spot. The rotation remains healthy. Again, if those two injuries to the bullpen are serious, yeah, you might need to go scour the waiver wire again. You might need to, find that unheralded piece in another organization. It's certainly not going to be the Tanner Scott. It's not going to be that lights-out closer that's available. But when you look at the position that this team is in, they don't need to bend over backwards to stay in this spot, and I don't see them able to bring in the type of arm or the type of bat that's going to allow them to make a jump to a next tier where they become all of a sudden the favorite in the American League Central. So you're kind of, for lack of a better term, stuck where you're at. And that is on that second tier, vying for a wild card spot, hurting yourself by losing this series to the Chicago Cubs, hurting yourself in the divisional race. As, you know, Cleveland was down 3-0 yesterday in Philly. They take 2 of 3 from the best team in baseball. Meanwhile, you're dropping 2 of 3 to a last place team. It was a tough weekend, and if I'm J.J. Piccolo, it further stamps my decision to just enjoy these final 2 months. No need to sacrifice anything as we're in year one of Bobby Witt Jr.'s contract.
Okay, so let's look at the big picture, though, Vern. Like, over the last 6 games, you only won 2 against the Diamondbacks and the Cubs, right? Like, that's not exactly great. You started off the homestand with 4 straight wins and then finished 5-4. To me, it ended up being a pretty disappointing homestand.
No question. You were favored in every single game.
Yeah.
I understand football's a different sport, but could you imagine the Chiefs going 5-4 at home in 9 games in which they're favored? That's, I don't want to say inexcusable, but it's certainly not cause for celebration. A 5-4 homestand when you're taking on six of those 9 games are against bad teams, but, you know, last place ball clubs. And you know what? Yesterday's loss really didn't bother me as much as Saturday's loss, where you have a defensive miscue, where you run into 2 outs on the base paths. You know, the loss to Arizona, where no one's able to pick up Michael Wacha. You know, the Royals lost 1 game to the Diamondbacks and 1 game to the Cubs, where you tip your cap and you say, hey, you're a professional as well, and you outplayed us. It's the other loss, right? It's the reason why that became a series loss, which sticks in your craw. No. I wanted 6 wins. I was hoping for 7. To come away with 5 while watching Cleveland do that in Philadelphia was certainly disheartening as someone that is still focused on the division. I'm not interested in the wild card with 2 months to go. You're now 6.5 back of Cleveland. You have 7 more meetings with them. I'm staying focused on the division, but man, this weekend was a big hit.
Vern, I have a concern that maybe you can cool me down with. Vinny's been hitting the ball quite well lately, but for singles. Is there any, like, should I be upset that he's not getting a lot of lift in the ball, being that fourth hitter and the third hitter in the lineup, being that sort of power guy, but we haven't really seen power numbers? Is that just me unnecessary complaining?
That's what sports are, and being a fan is, so there's nothing wrong with it. I would still say that since the beginning of May, his OPS is better than league average.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's not putting up all-star numbers, and I would not have been shocked if Vinny was putting up all-star numbers. I was hoping that he would put up all-star numbers, but again, better than league average. He's top 20 in baseball in RBIs. Like you mentioned, he's still hitting the ball hard. As long as those things continue, the power will be there. And again, to me, the offense is not an issue. It's not great, but it doesn't need to be great. The rotation's great. The defense is great. The base running is great. I just need that offense to be league average. I need the bullpen to pick it up and get to league average. But I'm not all that concerned about Vinny Pasquantino. I believe, you know, that batting average is about 270, 275 since the beginning of May. Again, an OPS north of league average. As long as Bobby and, you know, Renfro and Fermin and, you know, as long as you have three guys going well on any given night, that with this rotation, defense, and team speed should be enough. I'll put it this way. Vinny hasn't been a detriment, right?
Right.
He maybe hasn't been the star, but he certainly hasn't been hurting the team. And with this offense, if the expectation is just remain middle of the road, all I'm asking you to do is your job. Don't hurt the team, and Vinny's doing just that.
Vern, 4-3 lead. Going into the bottom of the ninth, who's on the mound for the Royals? I won't snort like Binkley.
Well, if it's the highest of leverage, the guy that I have the most faith in right now, man, names like Zerpa, Zerpa, Bubic, or Harvey. Oh, man, I kind of want to see Chris Bubic.
There we go.
I mean, Hunter Harvey needs to be the answer. He has the best swing and miss stuff and the most experience. But yeah, let's see what Chris Bubic can do. He's looked pretty good so far. But yeah, Hunter Harvey right now, I would say, is my number one in that bullpen if he's healthy. I'll say Bubic 2, Zerpa 3, MacArthur 4.
Okay, so this offseason, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves right now, but that has to be the number one need to fill, right, as a closer this offseason?
Yeah, without question. Yeah.
Than a bat in the outfield or, you know, one of those type of things.
Yes, I believe so. Just now, you never know, and you guys know this, that year to year, you know, bullpen arms are fickle. They're tough to predict, you know, which is why I was, you know, so interested in that Hunter Harvey deal and why Caden Wallace better not be a difference maker at the big league level. But yeah. But the thing is, Bob, is, you know, Tanner Scott's going to be a free agent. And the thing I worry about is, you know, that the fickle nature of a reliever. I don't know if I want the organization to go throw a bunch of money at a reliever this offseason and
sign that
Edward Diaz deal that the Mets did. That I just don't think that works out.
Right.
So
I think closer is one of those positions where, like, it's a hit it and quit it, man. You got 2 to 3 years max. Like, we look at Mariano Rivera and some of these other guys, but, I mean, the closer position in this day and age in baseball is if you can get 3 years out of a guy and maximize that, you win as an organization. I mean, look at Wade Davis. He essentially had 3 years here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and another reason why I found it so strange that the organization was so quick, or the maybe not the organization, but the promotions department at Kauffman Stadium was so quick to give James MacArthur that big elaborate intro where they close, you know, shut the lights off and play the music, even though this guy's been in the big leagues for, you know, 15 minutes. They spent the entire spring telling us that this was going to be a matchup bullpen, that they didn't have a closer. Shoot, they gave the closer's job to Will Smith. They were unsure about James MacArthur, and you know, we'll see what they do down the stretch. We'll see what they do in the off season, but you know what this is likely to be is what we've seen over the years from Tampa. It comes down to the coach picking the right matchups, going to the right guy, and having the proper feel. We'll see how Q does down the stretch.
All right, Massey goes to the leadoff spot. I don't know. It's because we talked about it on Wednesday and brought up the idea if that's why they decided to go with it. Is that what you're hearing?
That's what I would have guessed, right? It was before Q came on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. He was listening. JJ's listening. They're always listening.
Well, I know. So I'm glad they're taking the ideas from us because it worked.
And of course, getting MJ Melendez back in the lineup allows you to shuffle some things around to balance the righty-lefty. Michael went down to the 9 spot. Izzy's been hitting well. He goes up to 8. You know, Massey in that 5 spot for the past month has been key as protection for Salvador Perez. But Now, Freddie Fermin's hitting .313 since the beginning of May. Hunter Renfroe has an OPS of .823 since the beginning of May. So you can move Michael Massey. He doesn't need to be that protection. He can serve as a leadoff hitter. I don't think we're going to see it every single day. But yes, what we've seen from Fermin, Renfroe, and the return of MJ Melendez does allow some maneuvering for Q and the coaching staff.
Well, Vern, enjoy the three wins in a row that are coming here, and then a four-game series in Detroit. But they will get the White Sox. We'll hear you tonight at 6 o'clock on your On Deck show.
I mean, the White Sox have lost 14 straight, Vern. We've got to make it 17. If you don't take all three from the White Sox, man, that ain't a good look.
I saw a stat that the White Sox, prior to this season, had lost 13 games in a row only once since 1924. They've done it twice already this year.
Well, let's make it 17 by the end, by the middle of the week, Vern. So we'll hear
Gotta get this one tonight. Marsh.
Can't win the first one.
That's exactly right. You stole it before I could say it. From your lips to God's ears, my
been
man.
Been here a week, and it's already there.
There it is.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Quick. You bet, Vern. Thank you. That's Josh Vern, your Royals insider. Be sure to listen to his show tonight, even more so at 6:15, as you could have a chance for the pitch clock, which could get you tickets to a future home game to watch this team really battling it out for the playoffs. Yeah. And also, Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology and his number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
Did you like that we had a Bartman moment, too, yesterday in that game on that Freddie Fermin home run? Like, I mean, that was going out of the ballpark, and I'm glad Chick-fil-A kind of responded and gave everybody free chicken sandwiches or whatever it was for hitting that foul pole yesterday.
Chick-fil-A working on a Sunday. What do you know?
Yeah.
Never saw that coming.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.